You make that determination. That's the way it should be. No matter how mad they get
at
you.
Are you recording?
Yes, I'm recording.
But we have an entire team of reviewers now on OutrightGeekery.com.
Yes. So we're talking about unbiased reporting. Unbiased reviewing. So you think even despite a promo copy, you still remain unbiased?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, I feel like I could be way more unbiased.
I'm way more unbiased. Let me ask Larry a question to answer my question. Do you remember when we went to see Thor?
That seems like dodging the question.
Remember when we went to see Thor? And you got like promotional pieces to go see the movie? Even if the movie was bad and you would tell people,
no,
that's not bad.
I didn't get it for the purposes of reviewing.
But they don't care. But that's not my point. I'm not blaming you for getting those. I'm saying that you got those to promote the movie, right? To say to your people, hey, what's up? We went to this movie, the customers. Whether it's good or bad.
They weren't given to me directly. They were given to me to give out.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Promotional material.
Yeah, but promotional is different than reviewing or recommending.
But either way, good news, good review or bad review, this is my point. It is, in fact, promoting.
Because
they don't care.
As long as you're talking about it.
They don't give a damn.
But you have to be true to, is it good?
Yeah.
If it's good, you say it's good. If it's bad, you say it's bad.
That makes it talked about.
If IDW starts writing me some checks, sure, I'll read G.I. Joe and it'll get 5 stars every time.
But that's not the way
it's
going.
Just so that you know, IDW.
Come on, think about it. You don't think everyone got promotional copies?
So does Valiant write you any checks?
No, that's not, I'm not reviewing those. And Valiant is the best reviewed publisher according to Comic Book Roundup.
Right, but yeah,
pound for pound, they are the best.
Across the board.
I give all those reviews.
They have some diehard fans.
They really do.
They have diehard fans, and it's good material.
It is good.
They're the best artists, dude. Honestly, I haven't read a lot of Valiant. I've read Ivar Timewalker. I've thumbed through some Ninjak, some of the newer Ninjak, but that's it. I've got way too much to do to pick up another publisher.
Is really good.
All
written
of
by
it.
Jeff Lemire.
Rye.
It's written by
Ray.
Rye is really good.
I don't know how to say it. Rye. It's amazing.
It's gorgeous.
I keep hearing from everybody how beautiful and great it is.
Oh my God, Clayton Crane's art.
So yeah, I'm not. And since we're talking about Valiant, there is a new podcast coming out. CBI, you know, friends of ours. Get Valiant podcast where they're going to talk everything Valiant comics.
Dick Henry.
Yeah.
Well, as long
Henry
as,
and I think Eric's in there. There's a few guys
every
there.
Day, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, dude, we're going to run out of days.
Yeah, we're running
out. We're running out of days. We're going to have two or three a day here in the next,
And comic related news, I am surprised on how well Mighty Morphin Power Rangers has been doing.
Well, let's talk about that.
Well, I know Pink.
Recently read an article. It was called Nostalgia as a Genre. And I really, really am buying into anything that is old is its own thing, and it will sell.
It's always been that way.
But I don't think so. I think because there are so many ways to buy things, it is so amazing to be able to go to movies because they can actually do things in the movies that have been done in these other mediums forever. They can make it legitimate. And that is sort of rolled into nostalgia as a genre.
Not necessarily, because if you think about it...
Like what?
Well, everything that we liked, especially in the 80s. Y'all were more kids...
80s and 90s.
80s and 90s. Y'all were more kids during that time frame than me. Although I loved it because I grew up... I was older, but I still watched it and everything. Got engrossed with it and all that. And... because it was so good, most of the stuff was to sell toys and all that.
Exactly.
Just like Star Wars and all that.
Yeah.
It's going to, we, as a age group, love what we had.
But, you're not saying the people in the 60s and the 70s didn't love what they had?
Oh, they still,
because that's
do.
Not what's coming back.
No.
The 80s and the 90s stuff is what is doing
time
it.
Time frame.
Yeah, because
agreed,
we're,
but I think
ages.
But I think
ages to purchase this again.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's ages. Also, you know, where, I mean, you know, do you not think there isn't that going on CBS or, daytime TV?
Wait,
market it at... different age demographics.
But they're not just marketing. They're creating entire... They're reinvigorating entire properties as something else, and they're being successful for no other reason than they used to be popular.
Because they were that big. That's exactly. That's look at those ages. It wasn't as big
but back then. Transformers, it came at a perfect time. People who grew up watching the Transformers
and had the money,
have money to spend on things
on
again,
those things now,
and
yeah.
you bring it to the theater, but, and you give us that nostalgia feel. Yes, it's not what we wanted per se,
but where but is...
It's a twofold progress.
But I don't know where was the stuff or where that prime age group, right? The people who the folks who were children in the 80s and 90s and consumed then can consume now with the same franchises in different forms. Where were those same franchises and forms in the 60s and 70s in the 80s and 90s? In the 80s and 90s, those things that in context weren't nostalgia as a genre.
I think the difference between then and now is marketing and probably the internet.
I agree with you. Exactly.
Plus cable TV.
Exactly. That's a good point, too.
None of that existed until the
media.
But even now, you have the old shows are still played on TV. You got Gilligan's Island.
Well, reruns are always played. Sure.
But, I mean, they have channels... Just for that.
That's a valid point. Yeah, that's valid.
Area.
TV land.
But it's definitely not as high.
Also, we
but
weren't nearly as much consumers.
Well, no, because
that's because in the 60s and 70s, that's a good point too, Larry.
And
we weren't
thing,
as big consumers.
There are
in
more
the
60s of them.
Not
there
for franchises and brands.
Well, there wasn't really. Yeah. They were just starting.
Barbies
out,
were new. For the most part, as growing into.
Well, yeah, but.
As they've been around for 30 years already by the 60s, you know.
But
whatever.
No. But, in the 60s and 70s, it really got to be where Barbie was a marketable product where they had different versions of her business.
It was just a toy. It was always just a toy. Now it is toys, movies, comics.
The Power Ranger comic doesn't come out till May.
Okay, May. Okay, I'm a little off, but I knew it was coming out.
Yeah, because I was about to say.
Yeah. That's what you're saying.
There are more people who are
and
born.
We're the target demographic.
We're the target demographic. And we're a huge chunk of the population, specifically in the consumer department.
But there was that same target market then, and they had stuff that they could have gone back to with nostalgia, and it didn't happen. And I like what Adam said about communication, and you lead it to it too. The communication and media is just different now.
Yeah. Well, we had video games back then too, so kids were
not like today.
No.
I was just talking about video games with Jesus outside.
But kids were staying inside more because of video games.
Yeah.
And all this, and really, Saturday morning cartoons really blew up.
True.
80s and 90s is Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
That's like all we had.
Yeah.
And then in the 2000s, they started.
Kids W
died off. At least on the lower.
Whatever the hell they tried to sell you on ABC is terrible. But.
My kids are spoiled with the way video games are nowadays.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
When I was a kid, if I wanted a new game, I had to beg for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then be dragged to the store, go to Toys R Us and get a little paper slip, like a caveman. You get a paper slip at the Toys R Us and then take it to like a special video game counter where there was walls of video games, and then you get your game and then you go home and you play it and it would suck. You know,
but it's the only game you
have. And now it's the only new game you have. You have to play this crap.
Yeah.
Dude, my kids can demo thousands of games in a moment. They can just have a new game. And I'm like, what are you guys doing?
We had to read a magazine.
We had to read a magazine and wait like a caveman by the mail. Like, oh, come on, mailman. I got to beat, you know.
And sometimes that magazine lied to us.
Big time.
Oh, man.
Here's another thing about.
That's why it was a big deal when Blockbuster came with video games.
Dude, I used to rent consoles from Blockbuster.
Yeah, you could.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Oh, it was great.
That's where I bought my Virtual Boy.
Like, used.
Well, it was barely used.
Because no one rented it.
Nobody
well,
wanted
no,
that.
It was only on the U.S. market for less than 6 months.
Yeah.
They got the rental, and they had to pull it off shelves, like, within 2 months.
Oh, my God.
So
you still had that, too, don't you?
Yeah, but the rental case... They only like made 100 of those things.
Oh, so you have a Hollywood or a Blockbuster video
in the rental case and everything.
Wow. Yes.
I wonder what that's worth.
That's probably worth.
I don't know. The regular Virtual Boy goes for around $3,000.
Yeah.
So
that's 300.
Yeah. I don't know how much that case is worth, but
that's pretty cool.
It's, yeah, it's one of a, it's unique. So it's very difficult to tell how much it is. There's got to be some Blockbuster Video aficionados and collectors out there.
Oh yeah, there always is.
I doubt it.
No,
there's one or two.
But it could be just because it is unique. People pick it up. Yeah, I mean, people pick up the old computers.
Collect VHSs with a Blockbuster case and sticker.
Oh my gosh!
His entire VHS collection looks like it looks like Blockbuster shelves. It's awesome.
What else we gonna talk
about? Weird, but it's awesome.
Let's not talk.
Does he have a VCR player still?
Yeah,
I was a
really
sweet I have a VCR player.
VHS player.
Well,
he even has a Betamax player and like 10 Betamax.
I need to know this.
There is a few VHS and DVDs I have that were Blockbuster exclusives.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like what?
They did. They had a contract with Sundance and a couple other. So films that only. Sure. Oh, you could only rent these films at Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And then eventually they'd sell the used copies.
Yeah. Oh, neat.
I picked up a ton of them when the Blockbuster up here was going out of business.
Wow, I can't believe how interesting this story about Blockbuster is. That's really cool, Larry. No, it really is.
That's when they did both VHS and Betamax.
Yeah, I remember. I remember Betamax.
And the guy also owns a Linux machine.
I remember my aunt Becky, right? She bought a Betamax for like $800. She's like, I got a great deal on this Betamax. And she had like Michael Jackson's Thriller on Betamax. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. It was actually a better format than VHS.
You know how much Betamax goes for now?
Yeah, they're very pricey.
They're higher quality.
Okay.
Yeah, they were.
They were higher
quality.
It's almost as though I just
said
that.
They still make Betamaxes. They are still in use by a lot of newsrooms.
Yeah, because they're better quality.
A lot of video.
And you can use video broadcast above
SD broadcast levels.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, now they're starting to phase them out because everybody switched to high def, but a lot of your older studios are still using them.
I wish I knew one that was selling one.
Yeah, sure you can find them, dude.
Yeah, $350.
That's not bad.
Well, that's...
But you only got... I only got about 20 tapes.
I remember it would, like, pop up and you'd put the tape, push it down, like a toaster.
But they did play good movies, though.
Yeah, it played.
So did Laserdisc.
Well, but Laserdisc
is the most
for anyone who doesn't know what a Laserdisc is,
it's the biggest DVD
it's a giant dinner plate size DVD. A DVD, only they did it on a CD the size of a record. The thing I loved about Laserdisc is you had the full album art again.
Yeah. And the art was... They did nice. Now.
Yeah, all the Bonds and Laserdisc look awesome. They have like Laserdisc exclusive artwork that comes with it. They have like huge like liner notes in the Laserdisc. It's ridiculous.
I never had a Laserdisc.
No, I didn't either. A buddy of mine has one. He has like a whole like little theater room.
Laserdisc theater room?
Yeah, he does. And it's just a Laserdisc projector. I know.
My Laserdisc theater.
Look at all my Laserdiscs.
All like 30 of them that they made.
I was talking to this guy at work. He used to own like a Christian bookstore. And this dude brought in a bunch of his music on 8-track. And this was years ago, right? Mm-hmm. But people were just coming in and snatching them up. But they were taking them and recording their own music on it. Just because you can't find 8-track tapes anymore. Or they're very expensive, I guess, to find them with the whole plastic thing. But my dad's got like 200 8-tracks.
Wow.
Just because he holds on to everything.
And no player, though.
No, he's got two players.
They work?
He's an electronics technician, so he keeps them working.
Well, you know, in the music, an 8-track recorder, you can't. It was originally 4 tracks of 4 tracks.
That's right, yeah.
But you can set it up to record 8 studio tracks, and the analog file love to do the all analog stuff. So there's a large community of people that restore, analog record players, recorders, all that kind of stuff. I got a buddy of mine who does AV and video professionally, and he's got like 12 record players just looking for the perfect one. Every time he goes to a garage sale,
we're
like, I'll buy this, and he'll test them out and find which one. No, this doesn't work. doesn't work right. Nope.
It doesn't sound right.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Quadraphonic.
Man, my favorite, okay. My favorite record players, man. And I knew this girl, and my friend Josh was dating her. And her mom had the big cabinet. And then you opened it up.
Yep, we had
like a hood of a car. And then there was a record in there and had places for, and it had speakers built in.
Yep.
I asked her, man, would you sell that to me? She's like, I wouldn't. No. That's coming with me till I die.
Damn.
She's had the speakers changed in it like three times.
Oh, wow.
She wears on it all the time.
Nice.
But Larry's got a story. Hold on. Damn.
You can still buy a brand new Betamax player.
Oh, really?
For a mere $18,000.
Oh,
dropping a bucket. That's a studio quality.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, I mean, a studio grade.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
A little bit above my budget right
that's
now.
That's by Sony. yeah, that's
of course
the.
It's Sony.
You can't
they
find
never
like a new
in anything.
I can find
I've heard
a new
that they
for
kind of stopped making, I mean, Betamax tapes.
That is actually
they have
a,
like a warehouse full of them.
Yeah, I was. Gonna say, yeah,
but it is a digital Betamax player that also Betamax can output. To WAV files and MPEG files.
So you can just basically turn everything into digital anyways.
Right.
He doesn't want that, Larry.
Well, I was just saying.
He just wants something to play a damn movie. Play Ghostbusters on.
I'd have to go and open the box to figure out what I don't even, what I even own anymore.
Yeah.
I hadn't opened it in so long.
I have VHS like that just laying around. There's Pink Floyd the Wall in there.
I think we got rid of all our VHS
in there. I'm not sure how.
Huh? That guy's name, the guy in the wall?
Yeah. I don't know. It was Pink Floyd, dude.
Yeah, the movie.
I don't remember. Bob Hoskins was in there. Yeah.
Yep.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and then that. Like, what?
Yeah. I was thinking
it's a rude awakening when I was young. I was like, oh, there's a dude from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Oh, shit!
That movie's really not for kids.
No.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, I thought you were talking about The Wall.
No.
Really? Who Framed Roger Rabbit isn't for kids?
You can watch the movie
because of Jessica Rabbit?
No, because of Jessica Rabbit, because of the freaking murder that happens in that.
Oh,
and all the
man.
Dirty, weird jokes that they make throughout the movie.
That's all animation.
I
does
don't.
That.
But that doesn't make it. Yeah, so is Fritz the Cat.
It's
and
okay.
That's definitely not for children.
It's okay. I think you took a big
well,
leap.
Well, no,
there,
okay.
Fritz
the Cat is deliberately porn rated. It's
yeah.
Like X rated.
It's porn rated. Okay? It's rated P for porn. Sorry, dude. You walked like right into the bar and like put your head back and then tried to like keep walking like nothing happened.
It is
but,
porn rated.
What? No, Who Framed Roger Rabbit is not porn rated.
No,
we're right. Gonna start using that.
Oh no, Larry, you pull the jewels, and no one forgives you for it. Let
but
me tell
how
you.
Is how else is it? There's a murder. It's pretty scary when just like
that's
that.
The worst.
That,
part.
But are you talking about like the shoe that gets dipped?
No, that's pretty rough too.
It's
no,
it's worse murdered? Than Bambi's mom taking it.
It's worse than that. He talks about murdering people in that movie.
Who does?
The freaking the villain at the end.
Of course he does. He's going to destroy an entire
yeah,
town.
He
of
murdered
cartoon.
His brother. They talk about him murdering
yes.
his brother. They openly
he's
talk
a villain.
About him. Yes. You don't just talk about murdering things for children.
Dude.
It
think
was a different age.
It was a different age.
I think that kids can handle murder.
I don't think
if they watch the news,
yeah,
they better.
Definitely not porn rated.
Yeah,
it might be PG rated. I was trying to think of something.
It'd be like probably PG.
It might be kid. It's kids rated.
It's not rated.
It's rated K for kids.
You would let kids watch that movie now. We what? Watched that as kids.
I know.
Depends on their age.
I don't think I'd like.
My kids
watch
Japanese animation. They watch
that's
pretty hardcore
disturbing.
Stuff. Most of it's Naruto and
oh, that's,
Dragon
Naruto
Ball.
Naruto could be a little. Dragon Ball is not for children. It wasn't for children in Japan.
But
it was just edited for
it's
children.
Got
we still watch
yeah,
it. Because
it's got
our parents
its moments.
Are idiots.
what's the. Watch Shonen Jump with the Pirates. One Piece.
That is for children.
Oh, man, my kid. Oh,
that
Jake,
is
Jake's color.
Yeah.
Have you guys been on Netflix and seen some of the animation that they're offering?
Yeah.
Not lately, but yeah.
What is that one thing they have on there? They have a couple of different
one
ones. Come on, animation, guys.
You come out with the truck?
Damn it.
No,
it's like Japanese.
No, you know,
so
I don't know what's new.
No, see, Jules knew exactly what I was talking about, Adam.
There are a ton of
animation.
Shows.
Animation.
But you knew exactly
that's
what I was
that
doing.
Was guessed. I guess.
He knew. No, he knew.
There's like three Netflix exclusive anime shows. Knights of Sidonia was the first one.
Yeah.
So I went with the first one.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
What are the other two?
Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah. That looks cool as hell.
It was alright.
Yeah. That's true. Cool.
Yeah, I want to watch these, man.
You ever watch Robotech?
Duh!
It's kind of like Robotech.
I like that.
High five
Robotech.
Not as
good.
Not as good as Robotech.
Robotech's not as great as you remember it, though.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I own Robotech, so I rewatch it a lot.
Especially if you watch the whole thing.
The concept, though, of planes that turn into robots, but you drive them, that was right out of...
Veritex.
But that came about the time of Transformers, and I was like, wait, I get to be a Transformer in this imaginary land?
You know, like, that's
I want to live
Jetfire
in...
Which, like now.
Yeah, Jetfire is the original Veritex fighter, and they...
I hated
didn't
that.
They have a copyright issue on him?
They may have.
For a long
time. I don't like that.
Why they couldn't call him Jetfire in the show.
Right.
Are you talking about how Jetfire kind of pushes his legs out?
No,
Jetfire's
design is based on the original Veritech design.
It's an F-16.
No,
what do you mean?
It's
close.
No. Skyfire? Remember Skyfire in the cartoon doesn't look like a jet.
He's like jet.
His robot
big
mode
jetty.
Is dumb similar to the Veritech robot.
He had a nose cone and a...
Yeah, but that's what big, not
the
intakes.
Nose cone went down here.
But I mean,
his
when he was in jet, he still looked jetty.
Well, yeah.
Jettish.
Yeah, but he
jet-like.
Was
his robot mode is the whole reason they got into that argument.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not because of the jet.
No,
how do you copyright
no.
a jet?
Yeah, no.
Right.
No, the original.
Well,
you can't make your plane look like an airplane.
Yeah, no. The original
Takara
toy head was different than the American
okay,
toy head.
Okay, I see.
And it looked just like the Veritech head.
I see. Right.
Which is what we see in the comic books now. He
yeah.
has the horns and everything. He looks like a Veritech.
Yeah.
If you look at
why
Jetfire
did,
in the comic
why
books,
did some
he looks just
of,
like Robotech.
Why
Veritech.
Did some of the Decepticon jets put their nose cone up and other ones put it down?
Those are slightly different. They have the...
I know, but I'm not talking
fans
comparisons,
on their wings.
But why did they do that?
Dirge and Thrust?
No,
yeah they're jet motors.
There were other ones, I think,
they
kept
they,
there.
They had a few.
Why did they do that?
Dirge, Thrust, and... Those are all slightly different.
This is probably because
their jet
but
modes
I had
are different
them.
From the original Seekers.
But but just the wings.
Yeah, just the wings.
The wings pop off and on. It's
yeah.
the same damn thing. It's the same damn bot.
No, they've got the,
and if you lift up Starscream's nose cone,
what are those
he
called?
Looks like those
got
other
the little
jokers.
Fan thing.
They have the turbines.
The turbines.
Turbines.
Yeah, they have turbines on their wings.
I think both pronunciations are acceptible when it comes to that.
Yeah, the original
word.
Three
but
Seekers.
But I do say
don't.
It wrong on purpose. Wrong. Quote unquote wrong
because
on purpose.
The original Three Seekers and the original Three Seekers.
Now,
Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker are separate from Dirge, Thrust, and
Ramjet.
Damn! Go Steve! Go Steve!
Can't stand Ramjet.
Steve's schooling the Transformer guys because I couldn't come up with
it. I gotta rewire the brain.
Yeah,
back. Rewire
I
the
just
brain.
Watched him
but I'm
destroyed.
Just saying, those were the real, those were the same ships. And if you put their heads up,
but they're
on
not
Star
the
original.
Are so many really characters in the original show.
Like Ultra Magnus was
Optimus
Prime with a different trailer.
With an
right.
armor.
And a different trailer.
Yeah, the trailer became the armor.
Yeah.
Right. If you bought the toy, it's a white Optimus Prime
exactly.
with armor added on.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had the,
well,
the Ultra Magnus.
I thought the face
Ultra
was
Magnus.
Just a hair different.
No,
the face is a hair different.
Have been,
yeah. What, the helmet you put on, but if you take
oh,
off
yeah, exactly.
all the Ultra Magnus
right.
gear, it's just a white Optimus.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. No.
Well, they've made so many different.
They'll have Ultra Magnus.
Smokescreen, Prowl, Blue Streak are all the exact same.
Yeah, Cliffjumper and Bumblebee.
Cliffjumper and Bumblebee.
Even though they're not supposed to be anything alike.
But they are pretty much.
They're exactly
no,
the same.
No, Cliffjumper and Bumblebee are two different separate cards.
Yeah.
They are, but the toys were the exact
same,
just painted differently.
Nope.
The only difference between Cliffjumper
so.
And Bumblebee
they may have
is
had
the fin.
Foiler.
The
spoiler.
The spoiler,
the
yeah,
back
but that's
that
the only
down
difference
down
between the actual toy.
And that part snapped on and off.
Yes.
No, but Bumblebee is a bug, and Cliffjumper was supposed to be something else.
But he's actually just
a like
a
Honda Civic or something.
Yeah, I think so.
But
what else can we talk about? We can't talk about
can't,
Transformers
yeah,
on every podcast.
There's no really movies out there.
I mean,
talk
we were doing
about.
The Star Trek podcast the other day, and we're like, oh man, remember that time Megatron?
And we're just like, oh wait, wrong podcast.
Heroes Reborn has been canceled.
Yeah,
yeah, that, we knew that.
Heroes Reborn has been.
But
not surprised.
In other news, in that same tone. The Titan Comics Heroes comic and the spinoff is going okay.
Oh,
yeah, they're going to keep doing that.
Well, Supergirl got renewed.
Supergirl's renewed. The Flash crossover's coming up.
Yeah.
That'll be okay.
That's interesting.
It's about the Expanse got renewed. And
The Expanse?
The
Expanse was renewed, yeah.
Man in the High Castle.
I've heard great things. Yeah. I need to watch that.
I've heard great things.
Which I'm really glad it got renewed.
So. It's an Amazon show.
Yeah, yes, it is.
It's based on a Heinlein. No. Robert K. Dick.
Yeah.
Philip K. Dick.
Because it ends in a really bad place.
Oh, I haven't watched it. You watched it? Where are you finding time to watch this shit?
Big cliffhanger. I watch one episode of TV a night.
There you go. And that's good. It's good to give yourself that treat.
Well, you know, I'm just saying. It's me and the wife sit together and watch
aww.
It.
He's not a robot. He doesn't work all day, every day.
He seems like a robot.
Well,
are you sure about that?
He's a hairy robot.
He's a small business owner robot.
He seems like one of those doctor holograms that remember that Voyager episode where they were all cleaning out warp coils.
Yeah.
No, where the rejects were cleaning off the warp coils in different places.
You remember the Voyager episode where she gets to know all the lowly crew on the ship?
I remember the one where
she like puts together that team of all the people she doesn't know.
There's only three of them.
Yeah, it's only three.
No, I remember when what's his name, the Vulcan, has those three.
That was three Maquis that they busted down to re-education.
He's like, I raised the gravity on this deck.
Yeah.
You're like, what do you do? Damn it! It's heavy in here. Why so heavy in here?
Captain Janeway, when she gets to know like the person who works at the very bottom of Voyager.
Well, that was three of the three of the lower. I think they were all ensigns, and they had little quirks that kept them from rising above what they normally they should be.
You know my favorite Maquis who
actually and the one like ends up sacrificing stuff.
Yep. You know who my favorite Maquis was?
Who?
That murdering dude who ends up becoming a hero.
He's mind melded becomes just locked in.
He starts raising orchids.
Yes.
I love that man.
What's that race called?
I don't know.
Is it the same? Not Bajoran. He's the same race as the counselor from.
He's a Beta Zed. That's right. But his powers are really weird.
He's Beta Zed are messed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he only feels negative emotions or something weird like that. That character is awesome.
All right, we're halfway through the podcast. Let's do final thoughts.
Well, at the rate our final thoughts go, it might be a good time to start it.
What else we got? We can't talk about Star Trek in all of our podcasts. The other day we're doing the Transformers and we're like, remember that time, Picard?
The Picard
transformed into a
look. Now, that's the crossover I want to read.
What, Transformers?
Star Trek?
IDW
owns both.
No,
dude, More Than Meets the Eye is on a ship.
Okay. Listen to this,
they
Steve.
They are doing Star Trek.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Exactly.
Last Light against the Enterprise, I want it.
Dude, that would be great.
I read it.
There was, there was a Green Lantern Star Trek crossover. Yeah, it was great.
It was good.
It was really good.
It was actually really good. Well,
I'm not saying that it
was Kirk and
Hal. Can't be done.
That was awesome.
Was it Kirk and Hal?
It was
New Kirk.
It was New Kirk.
Have they done more G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers yet?
There's one going on now.
Okay.
He's not going to be in that.
By Tom Scioli. The Tom Scioli. Transformers versus G.I. Joe that's going on right now.
Yeah. I don't know how many, years ago it was.
I have it. We'll have to do that for one of the Instruments of Destruction. I think I have it. I'm pretty sure I have it all.
Why haven't they done a Star Trek in
Transformers? I bet they have it somewhere.
I mean, they've done
because they're having a sale on all
They've done two line wide crossovers where they've crossed over all of their books.
Yeah.
But they haven't done just a specific Transformers Star Trek.
That was actually really cool because the Ghostbusters went and investigated. No, it was the X-Files went and investigated these ghost busting folks in New York who were the Ghostbusters. They went and investigated these cars that turned into aliens, these alien Transformers.
If done right,
it was done pretty well.
Star Trek and Transformers
and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles they crossed over too.
Well, that would be cool.
And they went and investigated these rumors of mutant turtles living in New York. Very cool.
Those are good crossovers, but Star Trek and Transformers.
Why haven't those two crossed over?
I don't know. Batman and Turtles is crossing over.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, everything can cross over. Everything makes sense with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Exactly.
Come on, man.
Yep. But I want them to actually, maybe they can't cross.
I think everything could cross over. Red Sonja, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No.
Now that actually could work.
Sonja was like, no, no, Conan and TMNT worked. But no, you got to throw Red Sonja in there.
Okay, first off, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have that whole Battle Nexus arc that always happens where heroes from different universes end up in a big tournament. So you could cross over anybody with
that. Well, yeah, no, G.I. Joe.
Fighting style thing.
G.I. Joe is currently crossing over with Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah,
and the first issue is weird.
I thought
but
they were actually at one time going to merge those universes.
Dude,
anyway,
at one time.
At one time they were great.
No, at one time the Street Fighter characters were available as G.I. Joe characters.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so toys. I thought they were going to actually merge the universes.
They might be a little bit.
So
they may be.
Just like Random Surfing, I actually saw that G.I. Joe
commercial.
Commercial.
It was going around
yeah.
Facebook the other day.
Yeah,
G.I. Joe Street Fighter toys?
Yeah, it was going around the other day.
Commercial.
Yeah.
Well, remember they.
It's weird how shit goes
was
around.
It was awesome.
Is it Mattel or Mask? Is it Mattel or Hasbro that owns Mask and G.I. Joe?
Hasbro
is G.I. Joe, but I don't know if. I think Mask is the same company.
Yeah, because they put Matt Tracker in a G.I. Joe card and all that. Yeah.
Dude, they should still do another Mask comic,
They're supposed to be doing something with Mask because they renewed all the licensing and all that.
Dude, they're doing Micronauts.
Micronauts.
I don't know about GoBots. Is GoBots coming back?
GoBots was supposed to come back.
Except you know who's writing Micronauts.
Colin Bunn is writing it. Colin Bunn. I wish you quit pooping on Colin Bunn, man.
When you give me a good Cullen Bunn book,
are you reading the Greg Land Cullen Bunn Uncanny X-Men?
He said it without laughing. It's not bad.
He said a good book, not a mediocre.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not good.
Read, and this is honest, this is sincere. Read Harrow County. Oh,
and
shut up!
Tells me to read Harrow County!
That's the Cullen Bunn book that will save him.
No!
It's a great book!
No one talks about that book!
Everybody talks about
Don't Try.
You know what everyone says about that book?
It was the best horror comic of last year. By numerous websites.
Except for Imperium one. The one that matters.
Witches came out last year, technically, too. But it was up there.
I'm
sending you those costumes. You're getting them. Yeah, you're gonna read every damn one. It's great. It's a great book.
I wanna like him. I really do.
I do.
He just doesn't like
sure, he's
like
done some bad stuff. Bendis is doing bad stuff right now, and it's selling off the shelves.
What? Bendis book sucks right now?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy sucks. I totally agree.
Wasn't going to go there, but I haven't read all of
his Iron Man book's really good.
Well, now I got something not to look forward to.
It's really good. It's a lot better than Iron Man
book. Oh, everybody goes there. It's a lot better than a Karen Gillan. No one talks about the Tom Taylor.
I kind of like the Tom Taylor.
I love the
book,
Superior
actually.
Spider-Man.
I think it was better than Tom Taylor.
The current one going on right now.
Oh yeah, it is better than Tom Taylor book. And I like the Tom Taylor.
I thought the Tom Taylor book was just okay.
It's in my car.
I like it was better than Kieran Gillen book.
Better than the Kieran Gillen book.
My car's got a USB port.
I think he was too short of a time.
Who?
Too short of a time.
Kieran Gillen. Oh, Tom Taylor was ruined. Superior Iron Man was ruined by Secret Wars. It's one of the bad things about Secret Wars.
Yeah, it really is.
Another thing I have to not look forward to.
Superior Iron Man is amazing. It's so good.
All the Superior books. It could have gotten really good.
Superior's like their new Irredeemable.
Yeah.
You know, and Irredeemable has only been applied to one character. Oh, we never did intros either. Speaking of Irredeemable.
Yeah. We do those?
Yeah, that reminded
An
me.
Intro?
Wait a minute.
We don't do intros. We just start in the middle of the conversation.
Yeah. And the final thought is, I'm your host, Lawrence. I guess we'd have to do outros.
Like a band does it. Yeah.
But IDW bringing back all those old properties, Micronauts, it does go back to that nostalgia as a genre sort of thing. ROM.
Has it been announced?
I know.
Is Hickman writing ROM?
It is now.
Hickman should write ROM.
He wrote the Space Knights in that Infinity.
Oh no, they don't own the Space Knights. Marvel owns the Space Knights.
I know.
It has been announced.
Isn't that weird?
Man, look that up. IDW's ROM.
I want Mask to come back.
I would love Mask to come back,
too. I love the toys.
Venom book
I had a lot of the toys, too. Not as many as I wanted. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had that 57 Chevy.
Got it.
I had the Dune buggy.
Got it.
I turned in. I also had the truck.
There was a
motorcycle. Yeah, there was the Goliath and then a motorcycle.
That's Grasshopper.
That's all the ones I had.
I've got Volcano.
Dang, that's awesome.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got the big, the dually truck.
Oh,
I got the Doom buggy.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jeep.
They're making a live-action Robotech movie. That's, like, legit actually happening.
We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
They did Star Blazer.
And they could do that. Is that where the Yamamoto is from?
Or not, yeah. Battleship Yamamoto. I got it. I have that.
Oh, dude.
It was a decently done movie.
Yeah.
I will say that.
No, it's famous. It's very popular. It's like Black Cauldron. And it was one. Is that kind of it? Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Black Hole, those sorts of.
But, yeah, Spaceship Battleship.
What is up, IDW ROM?
It is May when it's supposed to come out. It will also be ROM Zero.
Ooh,
it will be a free comic book day.
Don't say it like that. Don't say it like that, Jules.
Ryder, Christos. Christos.
It's Christos.
Jimmy, it's Christos.
I say Christos Gage.
Gage. And it will be handled by David.
This is right. It will be co-written by Chief Creative Officer and the Editor-in-Chief Chris Royale at IDW, and that's who I was thinking of. Yeah, and he's in on everything. He writes a little bit of everything they got going on. He's done some, though.
He has done
He's been
some.
In on some of it.
I'm sure he's written some in the past, but not...
No, not a lot.
Done.
Well, dude, he sees what they got going
not
on.
Death of Optimus Prime.
He Leave sees what they got going on. Yeah, he's like, you do whatever you want with those robots.
Robots.
Do what you want with those robots, like Christus. Robots.
Last stand of the record? Is that the last thing? He co-wrote it with James Roberts.
No,
Who wrote that with Roberts? Roberts didn't write it by himself.
It was Roberts and the guy who's writing it.
What? Hey, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Feels terrible because he doesn't remember something about Transformers.
I know. It's
I don't remember!
Who? What else did they write?
He don't remember, dude. If he could remember, he'd remember. What else do we want to talk about? He's leaving now. He's like, no,
he's got to look.
He's got to go get the book. What else are we talking about? What else is going on?
Nothing. Oh, I guess Daredevil next week?
Yeah, Daredevil's next week. Let's talk about the Daredevil creative team that isn't anymore and that is on Black Widow. Let's talk about Black Widow number one from last week from Marvel Comics. It was Golden Age throwback.
It's
perfection.
What Mark Waid does, though.
He doesn't have to. But that's what he does with Chris Samney. I'm sorry, I just don't like it.
I like it.
There's a part where she jumps out of a helicarrier.
I love it.
And she is then chased, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these people who chase her are able to run to the hangar, get in their ship, and catch up with her before she's even, like, 5 feet out of the helicarrier. It was just very awkward timing, but it's Golden Age.
It's gorgeous looking.
It's going to be Silver Age, but it is great art.
It's great
just
art.
Not for me, man.
You know what is for me,
I am
though?
Not a fan of that
Daredevil,
style of writing.
That actual Daredevil book. That's
I'm not reading
right
the one. The
Stole.
Stick.
Oh,
the new
gosh.
Stick.
What are we talking about now?
We're Daredevil talking about book? Black Widow from last week and the new Daredevil book.
I don't like the art in the new Daredevil book.
You don't or do you?
I do.
I like who is it? Who
art.
Is it?
Ron Garney.
Oh.
That really is the book. That
is.
And Stick is in there? That is the new Stick?
No, it's not Stick, it's
Blindspot.
Blindspot. It's an Asian guy.
So yeah. It's who? The new Blindspot.
Blindspot.
Isn't that a Transformer?
Apprentice.
Isn't that a Transformer?
I must be bad because I'm not a fan of Daredevil and I'm not a fan of Black Widow by herself.
The last Black Widow by Phil Noto and
Nathan Edmondson.
I don't even remember who's writing it.
From Nathan
Edmondson. I bought it for the Phil Noto.
Yeah.
But it was
gorgeous.
It was really, really good.
Yeah,
it was
really good.
Isn't that team moving on something?
It's just the character just doesn't
Nathan,
do
cool.
it
that's
me
fair.
Myself,
that's
by herself.
That's fair.
Daredevil, I like Daredevil as a character.
Edmondson is
doing... Red Bull's book's been pretty cool.
Man, those Jeffrey Varegi, I don't even know how to pronounce the dude's name, but he's a Native American. He does that Native American.
Oh,
my God. I seek out his covers. He did one for Transformers, where it was a Megatron one and then an Optimus one.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so
good.
So good.
Now, is Red Wolf good, or is anybody reading
it? I'm reading it. I
read the first issue of Red Wolf.
I'm collecting.
I knew you stopped after that.
I stopped after the first issue. No, it couldn't have gotten better because this was my problem with it.
Red
Wolf is back in the 1800s. Right. It's a Western. He time travels to the modern day.
So you're
I wanted a Western. In a Western setting, that's what I was looking for. That's not what I got.
Your problem with Red Wolf is your same problem with Wolfman, Logan.
Exactly.
But it's the same thing.
It is.
It's not per se time travel. He came out of Secret Wars. Right. That book is
1876. No, I get that. I get that.
And he spins out of Secret Wars.
Right.
That's another thing I hated about that. Everything I loved about Secret Wars coming into Secret Wars is nothing I got with All New, All Different X-Men. I'm going to poop all over it.
That last issue of Old Man Logan was the best one. So.
It was pretty good.
It was issue 3.
Yes.
Well, great.
With Kate Bishop. Because
I didn't read it.
Lemire also writes the Hawkeye book.
Yes.
And it's Kate Bishop teaming up with Old Man Logan.
Did you notice when he said that, he got a little look of disgust on his face? Like, that last issue was the best one.
Yeah.
Bitter taste in my mouth.
But that last bite of turd wasn't as corny as the last two. That's what just sounded like you said. I agree with
this
Larry.
This is the man who tried to sell me Cullen Bunn.
I can sell you Cullen Bunn on Harrow County. It's great.
He didn't say on the rest of the stuff. He just said on the one.
Dude, I'm the same guy who doesn't like Rick Remender on anything Marvel, except X-Force. That doesn't count.
Which was a great book.
That doesn't count. It doesn't count. X-Force might as well not even be a Marvel book. All those characters are so different than what they usually are.
Yeah, yes. That's the only Deadpool book I really love.
It's true, because Deadpool's just legitimately funny. He's not stupid.
He's
funny.
A tragic clown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, that speech where he explains how he's like the Jackie Chan of and Wolverine's Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
He's like, dude,
feels
I can't
so
live
bad.
In
the- yeah,
oh,
I,
he, so
I live in your Weapon X shadow.
I live in your Sabretooth and Phantom X shadow. Phantom X hasn't even been around that long.
Yeah, Phantom X is nobody.
I love that book.
He's
made
great
Phantom
in
X.
Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, dude,
written
and
by Cullen Bunn.
It was the best.
Cullen Bunn, right?
I wasn't
no,
a fan
that's
of
not Cullen
or, Phantom
yeah,
X.
Yeah, in Uncanny
yeah,
X-Men.
He's in Uncanny
Phantom X is in that. He's writing Phantom X.
I didn't like Phantom X.
That doesn't sell me on
that. That doesn't sell me on
it's
that.
It's good.
Phantom X is very rarely well written.
It's good.
His creator didn't write him well.
No.
Oh, Grant Morrison?
Same thing happened with Daredevil. Or not Daredevil, with Deadpool.
Yeah, his
to an extent, yeah.
Yeah.
He got a lot better when other people got it.
Yeah.
Well, like Cullen Bunn on Phantom X, like I just said. He's definitely rolled in Magneto from his Magneto run into a quality team book, even though I didn't read the whole Magneto run. But I did not read it because of Cullen Bunn. I did not read it because
like
it got into events.
Phantom L's a cool character.
I don't even know who that is.
Phantom L was
In Humans book.
Yeah, that was the only good part of that Wolverine.
So dumb
so,
in Humans. Not
Phantom
a fan.
Was a cool book.
You know,
not
it's
a
bad sign. It is.
Hold on, Larry wants to change
book.
The subject onto
the art's weird.
Batman versus Superman.
Oh god,
nobody's talking about it.
We haven't.
There's a
on
reason
DC.
Why nobody's talking about it.
Right, so that's just like a horrible sign. I didn't even realize it was coming out this month.
Nobody realizes.
Does it?
Okay.
Yeah, apparently it comes out on the 25th.
Okay, I read an article.
This is what will happen.
On what
it will either come out and be good, or it will come out and be bad.
Yeah.
Well, they're already talking.
And that's really where we're at now.
Yeah, like,
we can't say anything more.
I read an article recently that they're like, there's no hype anymore. The hype is dissolved for this
so,
movie.
I think,
if
so they
their TV shows at this point. There's more talk about that Flash Supergirl crossover than there is any talk about this movie coming out this month.
Well, they're
so did they,
on TV.
Yeah,
they have blow their hype wad too early?
I don't think it's about the hype anymore. I think the movie is going to be good, and I think DC and WB know it's going to be good, and who can, they don't care anymore. They know that people who are talking trash are going to continue to talk trash.
But no one's even talking. No one's talking about
exactly.
it anymore.
Exactly. But every time
nobody's
every
talking
time
about it.
Warner Brothers puts anything out for it, the negative reaction is always bigger than the positive.
So they're saying, okay,
because of Marvel's huge
because so many people are going to hate on it.
They're just
don't even, yeah.
Because they know that the proof is in the pudding and the movie will speak for itself.
Yeah, but they're already talking
if that's
about
the case,
out,
you think they'd do better?
That's not Warner Brothers' role.
That's not.
No,
I don't think that has anything to do with
with anything.
It had to do everything with Deadpool.
Exactly. But I don't think that has to do with the production that we will see on the 25th.
Why not go ahead and put it out as an R-rated movie?
Because that's not what they want to do.
Or put it out on dual screen.
That's silly.
Not to me.
That's my whole thing. That's a hype thing. And then you get people comparing those versions. And then
I think
it dilutes it more. It dilutes it more than...
I think it was a mistake to announce an R-rated version.
Exactly. Until after it showed up.
I don't think that's either here nor there when it comes to...
Well, the fact that they announced it as an R-rated version, not a director's cut, was a bad call for listening-wise, but
I don't think it's going to hurt
them. This movie is sandwiched in between a lot of things, and it's done it a serious disservice.
But okay,
Deadpool is a huge property, regardless of how I feel about it, and that'll eclipse anything that's about to come out in the next movie.
But the reason Deadpool was successful is because it was a good movie.
Regardless, that people love Deadpool more than they like Batman and Superman.
It doesn't matter.
What I'm
saying, it's a good. Nobody knew who the Guardians were.
But here's
I'm not saying that.
Go ahead, hold on. Let me let Jules finish.
What I'm saying is Batman v Superman is sandwiched in between Deadpool, which is the internet's favorite idiot.
Sure.
Jimmy Chimichanga's, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
And Civil War,
the biggest hype machine ever.
The biggest hype machine
that
ever.
That deserves the hype.
What? In the same month, Marvel's Daredevil's new season is coming out, which stars the Punisher, which is probably one of the biggest anti-heroes of all time.
And Marvel, maybe of all Marvel.
Starring a Walking Dead character as him, with Elektra coming in, after Daredevil was probably one of the biggest TV shows of last year.
Easily, yeah.
Easily.
And the movie bombed.
Yeah, the Daredevil movie, yeah. And not only that, apparently, so here's Batman v Superman.
It has to be good.
But
it has to be.
It has to be.
Because you know what? Daredevil season 2 doesn't even have to be as good as the first season. I'm going to watch it regardless.
The Daredevil movie
Punisher
was a pre-Disney Marvel movie,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The what?
Yes.
The Daredevil movie.
Ben Affleck,
but no, the Daredevil movie. The Daredevil movie was not a Marvel Studios movie.
Right.
Yeah, it was still a Disney.
It was a licensed out
Fox movie.
Well,
here's one
thing. The other thing with Deadpool being so great. What does that do for the other X-Men movies?
The what?
I mean, the X-Men movies. Deadpool, do you think that's going to?
Yeah, I think Deadpool already has.
Will take Wolverine's place.
Hold on, hold on. I think Deadpool already has changed the way these X-Men companies are doing things. Gambit has been put on hiatus.
Yep.
And two movies, unannounced titles, have been announced that they're going to do. And odds are it's Deadpool 2, which will introduce Cable.
Domino.
Yep.
Probably, hopefully. And an X-Force movie. That's hopefully where they're leaning. So, yes, Deadpool definitely has changed the environment a lot, the landscape a lot. But not for Marvel. Marvel's got a proven formula, and they're going to keep doing
it. Right.
But that's
my thing is, I think everybody loses perspective because in this line of films that are part of a contained universe, Marvel has 10 movies. DC has one. Yeah, maybe.
I think they have 12.
Maybe.
No,
one.
Shared universe.
DC has one.
One.
Right.
Yes.
That's one it. And they're blaming that. They're saying that that's crap. That movie is not as good as, say, Iron Man or Thor.
So,
or
yes.
So,
relative.
It was a really good movie. I like
three. Three is
Iron Man.
Yeah, I watched the first
one. I love three.
Three's grown on me. I used to hate it. I'll still watch two.
Three
is amazing. With the race car, he's like suicidal in that. Yeah, I don't like that.
Think about that.
Is two the one that happens right after the Avengers, or is that three?
No, that's three. He's PTSD.
Why was Tony Stark acting that way?
Because
he thought
sick.
He was going to die. And he said, since I'm super rich,
the best Iron
why not do
sure,
it?
The
sure. Suitcase suit?
Yeah, the suitcase suit was okay. I didn't like Happy driving on the racetrack. There were a lot of miscues there.
But Iron Man 3 is awesome.
If we're comparing Iron Man 2 to that first Superman movie,
I take Iron Man 2.
I take Iron Man 2.
I don't know why, because Superman breaks a neck, because it's a disaster movie.
Well, no.
I enjoyed all the Iron Man movies.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
I think the reason why I would take Iron Man 2 over Superman
is Man of Steel. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yes, Man of Steel. Okay.
I have fun watching Iron Man movies.
Right.
When I watch Man of Steel,
desperate.
It's desperate.
What not? I mean,
bleak is the best word I can think of.
It is
Pepper
bleak.
Over Lois Lane in that Man of Steel.
Big time.
Phil.
It's believable there's a relationship between Pepper and Tony than there is between Lois and freaking
Iron Man 2 versus Man of Steel.
Which one?
Which one would you rather watch?
If I said, hey man, let's go watch a movie. Yeah. See?
Ooh, you're the only one.
I said Man of Steel. I would
not say Man of Steel.
I would watch Man of Steel.
I like Man of Steel.
I didn't enjoy it. I said I had more fun.
I enjoyed the first half of Man of Steel. I did not like the second half. The love story is it's just thrown in there in an overtly bleak movie.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like if you're going to give me Lois Lane, give me B.A. Lois Lane, who doesn't need Superman, the first movie.
My big problem with Man of Steel is the whole Lois Lane bit at the beginning just pulls me out. It's too far-fetched. Her just
going to BSing
her way into a top-secret military base in Antarctica.
It feels like she was added in as a last point in the movie.
That's a good point. It's almost as unbelievable as a flying suit of armor. But
as
whatever.
You know what?
I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
Lois Lane takes me out of that Man of Steel movie.
I know.
The flying suit does it.
I feel like I'm being hit with a Nikon ad for the first 5 minutes. Because they flash that logo all the time.
The problem's just tone with me. All that plot stuff I could put aside. It's just tone. It just doesn't feel
it's
a Superman.
It's so bleak.
I think that's why I love it. I love bleak, depressing.
I liked it better than
the other Superman movies because it was dark and it didn't seem like Superman to me.
I liked seeing Superman kill Zod.
I think if you cut out the Antarctica scene, the movie gets way better. Agreed.
Cut out the first 15 minutes, the movie gets way better. I'd agree with that.
I agree.
Now, my problem
we'll have to see Batman versus Superman.
Here's one thing I don't understand about the new Batman versus Superman or V Superman.
Here's one big thing I don't like about the advertising so far of Batman versus Superman.
The advertising.
Yeah. They're making it when they first...
Dawn of Justice.
Right. One of the first trailers was you see Zod being taken by
Lex Luthor
and turned in what we're thinking of is Doomsday.
That's the most likely rumor.
That's what we're thinking.
That's my problem.
Hold on. Let Steve finish.
But they're making it more now with all the trailers. It's the actual fight of Batman versus Superman himself. And that's what I don't. I think they're going to try to put too much into it.
Oh, I know they are.
It's a 2.5-hour movie.
But they've already said Batman, Superman, Doomsday,
Aquaman,
Lex Luthor,
and
Wonder Woman for sure. And they're going to touch on everybody else. It is going to be huge.
And that's what it's going to be too much. And they're going to lose in. There's going to be a lot
of
loss in there.
It's going to be Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I'm hoping. I think it's going to be good. I do too.
I think it will be an all right movie.
I think I'm going opening weekend.
I don't think it'll be a great movie. I'm serious.
If you think about it, these are two of the most iconic comic book arguably the two, arguably the most.
Because you can throw Spidey.
Right.
You could throw even Wolverine in there. Modern day.
But here's what I'm going to say, though.
I could make an argument for Wolverine. It's been 30 years since he's been around.
Too much.
It's been a while.
Exactly. I'm going to agree with Steve. It's too much. There's too much in the trailer.
There's a lot going on.
The trailer is so oversaturated. I don't want to watch
the movie.
There's
the Batmobile, and then there's the grappling.
There's the Robin costume.
And maybe a Joker armor.
Well, when you say too much, if you look at it back, one of the things that the
the flaw in the Marvel's plan is that there is so much. It could be overwhelming amount of movies.
It is, but that's but 10 movies.
Yes, but DC has that advantage. It's still at the jumping on point. But if this movie does well,
but here's the
people
problem.
Aren't going to feel overwhelmed like they have to watch. On.
Six movies till I got to the Avengers. You're giving me one movie before I get to the Justice League?
That's what I'm saying. It's sort of like the frog in the boiling water.
Agreed. Yes.
Marvel sort of said, okay, here's Iron Man, and okay, we got Hulk, and we got a little bit of Thor.
Wait, I just get them. I don't have to wait years.
And then Batman versus Superman. It's just like...
But here's the thing. If it bombs...
Yeah.
If it bombs, then your Justice League movie...
I don't want to think about that.
Bombs.
But that's what I'm afraid of.
First of all, I don't think the movie's going to bomb.
Well, I mean...
I think that's impossible nowadays with the way they do movies.
But what I'm saying is my bomb...
Fantastic Four
is not do as well as they thought.
Right.
Because
it's impossible nowadays to bomb
Fantastic Four has made its money back, I think.
Right, it's made its money.
No, it's made its sales. Like, just recently I read an article.
Wait, no, it made its money back... in sales for what it cost to make the original movie.
Exactly, but
not including advertising, distribution, manufacturing,
DVDs. I heard just now, after, 8 months of DVD sales, they have finally made their... And licensing, because it's on...
And so it was, now they're on the break-even point.
Exactly.
So if it breaks even or just makes enough... Are they going to be able to keep them? My fear is, will they be able to keep the guys together to do Justice League?
Because of Nick Cage.
Yeah, they already signed on to do it.
But Nick Cage is always Nick Cage, no matter what.
Ghost Rider's great.
Well, not even all five. You got Iron Man, or Superman, Batman. Aquaman, Wonder Woman,
and Idris Elba's in the movie.
And then you got Cyborg is supposed to show up. Maybe Flash makes a little...
Those are already announced. All those movies are announced.
Did you see Amazing Spider-Man?
It's not going to bomb. They're going to continue with this run.
Right. Do you remember how the first half of the movie?
That's what they're
going to
do. No, even if it does quote unquote bomb,
I didn't make it to the point.
It won't.
The point where
I don't think they'll keep going.
They will keep going forever. Even if not a single person goes to see Batman versus Superman, they will keep going.
Oh yeah,
the question is, do they keep rebooting?
I walked out of the theater.
Maybe
that works. Maybe they get one good trilogy, and that's all we need. We just make another trilogy.
Electro.
If nobody.
But that's not where they said they're going.
I mean, if
too many things going on
if
in that movie.
Man, sucks. Batman, the Superman bombs and Justice League bombs. Do they start over Justice with a different Batman or a different Superman?
One character, one villain, and it tells a concise story. You like the Nolan movies because it's got one character, a concise story. You're giving me the big three in one movie, with one of them already been introduced. And then you're giving me Lex Luthor and Doomsday.
Do we really need to introduce Batman?
If they came to you and said, no, stop. If they came to you and said, we're doing a Trinity movie, and Aquaman and Cyborg may make cameos, you'd be like, okay, I'd watch that.
No,
basically, that's what we're getting, a Trinity movie. What's wrong with that?
Because I don't like the Trinity.
I'm just excited to see Aquaman.
You just don't like DC.
No.
The dude's wearing a Batman shirt.
I like Batman, and that's the only part of the Trinity I like. All
right.
And all the best Justice Leagues don't have the Trinity
really
in them.
I have really high hopes for this movie.
And you know that. Justice League books don't have the Trinity.
I've been your host, Lawrence of America. And I'm going to go around for final thoughts. We have the irredeemable Gomer.
I have to go first for final thoughts?
Fine. We have Bill from Four Letter Nerd fame. Your final thoughts?
I just caught last like 10 minutes of this. But I'm
go see that movie.
Yeah, go see Batman Superman. I'm excited for it.
Red Shirt Steve.
I agree with him. I'm going to have my hopes up to go see Batman. Beast
Miguel.
Superman.
I'm going to watch Daredevil Season 2. I'm going to wait for Civil War.
Adam.
You guys can tell me how that movie is.
You guys should take a listen to Instruments on Destruction.
There
Instruments
we go!
On OutrightGeekery.com. We have the first episode up right now. The second episode's coming up soon, where we'll have a spotlight on Ultra Magnus, is who I've decided.
Yes! I love the rules!
Yes!
I love every single line of the Autobot code.
He's the cop.
Memorize it!
He's the prison guard, the warden.
And there's lots of them, apparently.
As robots, do they really have to memorize it? Couldn't they just download it?
No, it's not.
Not a program.
More people than robots.
Sorry.
We should have done Tailgate.
Whatever. You get to choose when you get to choose.
I might do Tailgate.
All right. Final thoughts.
About Batman versus Superman. If it's not a good movie,
it's Warner Brothers, so it very
then
well
the fanboys then the fanboys will definitely continue the onslaught of hate.
Okay,
I don't think Warner Brothers will stop.
The fanboys are going to hate the movie, even if
they're still hating on Man of Steel to this day.
Guardians of the Galaxy had every
They hate him. DC fanboys
hate
Zack Snyder.
I don't know why he does.
Warner Brothers is putting everything on him.
Yeah, he does good stuff.
But here's the thing.
I'm going to keep talking. Well, you know what?
I'm going to explain to you right now.
Warner Brothers. Bet money on him with the first one, and they're just sticking to their guns. They're like, we did this, we're going for it, we're going to stop at the end.
But as we all know, those DC fanboys, those real DC fanboys, are really intense.
What about the squid, the purple squid?
Well, yes, they changed the ending of The Watchmen, and since then, the DC fanboys
have been waiting on those Chinese battles. But most people say that was an improvement.
Oh, I totally agree. As somebody who read that book every day.
Even and people affiliate did not read comics would
first off,
enjoy
if
that
you did the giant affiliate. Purple squid, the movie has to be like 6 hours for it to make sense. There's so much foreshadow in that book that they pulled out because it would make no sense.
That's the part that makes you know, oh yeah, I forgot this was a more book for a second. There it is.
Because, yeah.
There's the purple squid. Well, you know, I'm rereading that and I'm just like, I'm going to do like a page for page review of it.
Are you?
Well, Mark, he always tells people, when you read that book, read what would be an issue, then wait a while, let it sink in.
You really do have to let it sink in.
I never thought of that. I might have to give that a try.
He says it reads better in issue chunks.
I've only read it in like binge, just not going to lie.
No. I'm
constantly reading it. There's actually a copy in my car.
The best way to read it, backwards. Read it by issue backwards.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is.
Everything makes more sense.
so you start out confused and go,
read it issue by issue backwards.
The way it fills you in
unfolds so much better, and it's like
the
scary.
Way it fills you in. There's like three pages of that last issue that is pretty much a summary of the entire series up to that point.
And so all the book stuff. All the under the hood stuff.
Yeah. But if Batman vs. Superman is great, I'll just say this. Guardians of the Galaxy had every opportunity to be bad.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't.
But they gave it to the right director.
I agree. But they're on a path.
As always, I say good writing. We'll overcome all.
I have a hard time trusting Zack Snyder. It's just like...
Ben Affleck writing it as well.
Argo.
The dude's been fantastic lately.
Come on, man.
Give it a chance.
He's
won awards for his writing.
It's not that. It's that I'm afraid it's going to be too bleak.
No,
and
it's okay.
The character design is superiorly lacking for me.
Batman has to be bleak for Batman to be good.
Why can't it be bleak? What's wrong with it being bleak?
It's good to be bleak sometimes.
The Marvel movies, and I love the Marvel movies, but they are bright and colorful and huge. And I want it to be focused. I want it to be focused on why Batman is pissed
and
off.
If DC could make it work,
Superman, bleak, you know,
it'd be a nice alternative to the bright.
They can't be a carbon copy of Marvel, or the fanboys will hate them.
We're
in total
Madison, Tennessee.
I'm not.
Comic City 2.
ComicCity2.com.
Facebook.com/ComicCity2. OutrightGeekery.com. Comic Book Illuminati.
Four-letter nerd.com.
Find
all of us on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, all the social media
stuff. I had your TV coverage. We're so lacking on it. And every time I go, I'm like, damn it, Better Call Saul. Damn it, there's a Game of Thrones of each.
Free Comic Book Day, first Saturday in May. We'll have all kinds of fun stuff. We're already working on stuff.
Awesome. We should do Pyramid.
We should do Pyramid.
We should do Pyramid like we did Jeopardy.
Hey, Bill, do you want to do Pyramid with us?